This morning, as we move through the last week in the month of February, we are also approaching the last week in our sermon series on relationships. In February, we've been talking about relationships, not only how God calls us to be in relationship with our Creator and our Redeemer and our Sustainer, but how we are called to be in relationship. So we talked about relationships of all different kinds. We talked about what it means to be a partner or a spouse. We've talked about what it means to be a parent and a caregiver. We've talked about what it means to be a friend and a neighbor. And this week, we're focusing on relationships in terms of the beloved community. The beloved community is another way of talking about the kingdom of God, that which God is calling into being, that which God wills for all of us to belong as brothers and sisters in Christ, in the kingdom, in the church, in the world. So as we talk about the beloved community, one of the things that came to my mind was a passage from Revelation, the very last book in the Bible. And it's a very interesting book. It's kind of wild to read. And in the 21st chapter, it talks about a new heaven and a new earth. And we're going to think about a new heaven and a new earth as we think about the beloved community and all the things that God is making new, all the things that God is making possible in our church and in our community and in our world by bringing people together into relationship. Hear these words from Revelation 21, 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell among them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "I am making all things new." And he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. Those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." When we recognize that God is the one who is making all things new, that God is the one in whom everything begins and ends, that God is the one who calls us unto God's self, we recognize ourselves first and foremost as children of God. And when we're called children of God, what we also do is we recognize ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I know as you look around this room, the familial ties are diverse, right? The familiar ties are spread out, and you're not all blood related, right? Right? Leslie is not my actual sister by birth. My sister's name is Becky. Becky Broadhagen, and she lives in Kalamazoo, and she has blonde hair, not green hair. When I look at Cece, Cece's not my sister. She's just a few years younger than me, and I know that I do not have a sister named Cece. I have a sister named Becky, and Becky does not wear glasses. And Becky is much taller than Cece. And Becky already has a doctorate degree, and she's a physical therapist, where Cece is in fifth grade? Fifth grade, right. So we're not all brothers and sisters in biological sense, but we are brothers and sisters as we relate to one another as children of God. Now, there was a person, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who thought and taught a lot about the beloved community as it related to his faith and as it related to his trust in God and as it related to the way that he lived out his faith and trust in God. And Dr. King, and we're talking about Dr. King because he's a very very influential spiritual leader, and it's African American History Month. And when we talk about the beloved community, he envisioned this as this global vision, as one that was realistic, as one that was achievable. When Dr. King talked about the beloved community, he trusted in the power of human relationships, and he trusted that those human relationships were shaped by a desire to live out God's love in the world. He was writing most prolifically in the 1950s and 60s, and this was a time of great political and social unrest. You know that. It was a time when there was real violence, real injustice going on, and the idea of the beloved community where brothers and sisters in Christ could get along, could live peaceably together, could recognize each other's humanity, was something that wasn't happening in everyday life. So when Dr. King read the passage from Revelation that we just read, and he envisioned a new heaven and a new earth, what he saw was a place where men and women and children of different skin colors, of different ages, of different nationalities, of different political beliefs, together at the same counter in a restaurant, could all drink from the same water fountain or use the same restroom in public, could all be together at the Lord's table in a church. When Dr. King envisioned a new heaven and a new earth, he saw this beloved community where every single person, man, woman, and child, was equally beloved, equally valued, equally worthy in the eyes of not only society, but in the eyes of God. When it all boils down to bringing people together into beloved community, we see a place, a marvelous, utopian, miraculous, heavenly place where peace and justice reign. And Dr. King knew that that could happen on earth as it was in heaven if people, all people, could find a way to be in relationship with one another, could find a way to exercise nonviolence, to find a way to exercise their faith, and to find a way to love their neighbor as themselves. Dr. King wanted a way to make all people feel like they belong, feel like they were included, so that the racism he had experienced, the discrimination, the bigotry, the prejudice, and the violence could all be eliminated. As I said, he spoke passionately on this topic of the beloved community, and at one point he wrote a letter, he wrote a sermon about the beloved community, and I have just a short clip that I want to show you of that message today. Will you watch it with me?
We must come to the point of seeing that our ultimate aim is to live with all men as brothers and sisters under God and not be their enemies or anything that goes with that type of relationship. I say to you this morning, my friends, rise up and know that as you struggle for justice, you do not struggle alone, but God struggles with you. And he's working every day. Somehow I can look out. I can look out across the seas and across the universe. Cry out, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He's tramping out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. Then I think about it because his truth is marching on. And I can sing another chorus. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. Then I can hear Isaiah again because that has profound meaning to me. That somehow every valley shall be exalted, and every hill shall be made low. The plain, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. That's the beauty of this thing. All flesh shall see it together. Not some from the heights of Park Street, and others from the dungeons of slum areas. Not some from the pinnacles of the British Empire, and some from the dark deserts of Africa. not some from inordinate superfluous wealth, and others from abject, deadening poverty. Not some white and not some black, not some yellow and not some brown, but all flesh shall see it together. They shall see it from Montgomery, they shall see it from New York, they shall see it from Ghana, they shall see it from China. For I can look out and see a great number as John saw, marching into the great eternity, because God is working in this world and at this hour and at this moment. God grant that we will get on board and start marching with God, because we got orders now.
I like that last line. And God grants that we would get on board. Get on board the train. Right? We wanna ride the train of the beloved community, one where there's a seat for everyone, every man, woman, and child. For no matter your skin color, no matter your age, no matter your education level, no matter where you live in the world, no matter who you worship or how much money you make, there is a seat. There's a seat at God's table. There's a seat on the bus. There's a seat at the lunch counter. And this is what it looks like for the beloved community to come together, that despite our differences, we are all equal. We are all loved. We are all capable of being in relationship. Now, as you probably can hear in the tones of Dr. King's impassioned speech, the core value of the beloved community is agape love. He distinguished between three kinds of different love, and these are Greek words, perhaps you've heard them. Eros love, which is a aesthetic or romantic love. Philia, which is affection that we have for our friends. And agape love, which is an understanding, redeeming goodwill for all people. An overflowing love, which is purely spontaneous and unmotivated and groundless and creative. Agape love is the love of God operating in the human heart. Agape love is the one that surprises us and overwhelms us because we don't know it is coming to us. Dr. King said that agape love does not begin by discriminating in any way between who is worthy and who is not, but rather it begins by loving others for their sakes and makes no distinction between friend or enemy, between advocate and ally. Agape love is seeking to preserve and create community by ensuring that all people are welcome. By ensuring that all people are welcome. Now, I don't know about you, but this sounds like another guy I know. Another guy in the Bible who Jesus thought and taught a lot about. It sounds like a core value of God's. When we recognize each other as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, when we recognize ourselves as children, we don't begin by asking questions about who is worthy and who is not. We come to a place where all are accepted, where all are welcome, where all can be fed, where all can be loved, where all can be forgiven and free by the power of relationship, by the power of the one whom God has sent to show us what love looks like. This vision also occurs in Revelation. It occurs because the passage shares with us a fully consummated kingdom of God, the big picture, the whole pie in the sky idea, of where all people come together to worship this great God of love, where all people come together to receive that free, unadulterated gift, and where we have an opportunity to return that love back to God through worship. The new heaven and the new earth is where everyone comes together to worship as one body, united in love. It's not mediated by the brokenness of the world or by our human failings, by the things we've said and the things we haven't said, by the things we've done or the things we have left undone. It's simply a place where we worship God just as we are, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, It's a vision of what the world would be like if we loved God with our whole heart and our whole soul and our whole mind and our whole strength, and if we loved our neighbors as ourselves. But as Revelation knows, even in the midst of this power, even in the midst of this truth, we don't just believe in a God that will make all things right in the distant future, in the one that is to come. We believe in a God who's active and moving in our midst right here and right now. You hear me say this over and over again in our prayers and in my messages, that God is active and working in our lives. God is the one who makes it possible for us to feel motivated and inspired and willing to serve. God is the one who makes it possible for us to love others. God is the one who makes it possible for us to do the hard work of relationships every day. So in the midst of this activity, in the midst of this God being at work in the world, we believe that God is making a beloved community right here and right now. God is building bridges between us and between our brothers and sisters and between our community and our church. God's work in Jesus was to institute that the beloved community comes right here and right now. It's a utopian vision. It's something that is already at work, but it's not yet completed. It's the kind of thing that feels like we might take two steps forward and one step back, but it's still forward motion. It's the kind of thing that might feel like failure on some days when relationships are broken, when people are bruised and hurting, when all is not as it should be. But yet, if we're falling, we're still falling on our face and moving forward. The beloved community is the one that is being made manifest right here and right now. As each one of us acknowledges ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ and recognize the image of God in each other. As I look in the mirror and I look at myself and I see myself as a precious child of God, as one who is loved and forgiven, as one who is worthy of the gifts that God has given me, I also look at each one of you. And even though Cece is not my sister, and even though Leslie is not my sister by blood, I know that she is my sister in Christ, and that she is also a precious child of God, that she is also worthy of love, that she is a recipient of this grace. I look at all of you, and I see the image of God in your face, and I know that those truths are real for you as well. As we see the image of God in one another, we recognize that each person is beloved by God. Each person is unique and worthy. And that means that we want each person to belong, to feel included. We want each person to have a seat at the table, to have a seat in this worship service, to have a seat in the kingdom of God, a place in the kingdom of God. As we welcome each other with this radical love that draws no boundaries, that creates an equal playing field, that makes it possible for all of us to be in relationship, we also know that this love will hold us together, that this love will make us stronger, that this love will will us to practice nonviolence in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. And what that means is that when Leslie makes me really mad, I don't want to shave her head. But rather, I want to sit down with her and have a conversation. I want to understand the feelings that she has, the decisions that she made, the emotions behind the behaviors that hurt me. What that means is that one of us has within us this innate power and potential to be in relationship, to offer ourselves the love and the reconciliation that Christ first offered to us, and to then live that out in our relationships. it has a ripple effect. And that's why, in Dr. King's mind, the beloved community was a global vision. It was something that could really, really happen. He knew it would be hard. He knew that it would take time. He knew that even by the end of his lifetime, it might not be a reality. But yet, the thing that got him up out of bed every morning, it was the hope that he clung to when he was in prison. It was the healing balm that tended to his soul on the darkest of nights. As I was thinking about the ways in which St. Paul's United Methodist Church and the Open Door are already making manifest this beloved community, I thought of a couple things. The first thing I thought about is our relationship with Liberia, a country far away on another continent, where it's hard to imagine ourselves as brothers and sisters in Christ with men and women and children who are living in remote villages, who are living lives very different from our own, where the standards of care, where the standards of education, where the standards of health are very different. And yet this church has made a commitment year after year after year to be in relationship with the men and women and children in Liberia. We've built wells, we've committed to providing an education, and we have formed relationships, in particular with a school in Monrovia, Liberia. It's called the Henry Wilmot Dennis School. It's named after a man of faith. And this year, our church wants to grow that partnership. We want to grow closer in relationship to the boys and girls who are students at Henry Dennis School. One way we've committed to doing that, one way we've committed to offering ourselves and the gift of agape love, is by providing educational scholarships. We hope to send 36 boys and girls to school, not just for 1 year, but for 2 years, by fundraising money. We can send 36 boys and girls to school for 2 years for the cost of $15,000. It's a drop in a bucket. And not only does this provide education, but it also provides 2 meals a day. It provides access to clean drinking water. It provides opportunities that will help the boys and the girls rise out of a cycle of generational poverty and into a life that they never imagined could be possible for them. As they journey through their school together, their school years together, the boys and girls will be in community with one another. They'll have an opportunity to gather, not only as students and peers, but as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And as they worship on their Sunday morning in Monrovia, and we worship on our Sunday morning in Rochester, Michigan, we'll know that the same God who loves us and who calls us is the same God who hears our praises. This is a vision for me of what the beloved community, that thing that's already but not yet happening, makes possible. The other thing I've been thinking about are these words that we say on Sunday mornings. The vision, the commitments of Open Door, the things that we value most. Be you, be loved, be change. I want to reiterate this because we believe that all people are welcome here in this space, that no matter what is going on in your life, whether you're healthy or you're sick, whether you're married or divorced, whether you're employed or unemployed, whether you're young or whether you're old, whether you're new to the faith or you've been here and you haven't missed a Sunday in 50 years, we want you here. We want you here, and we welcome you, and we include you, and we want you to know that you can be yourself in this space. You can bring your whole self. Bring it all. We want it all just like God wants. We believe that with that authentic and wide and gracious welcome, God will meet you here. God will meet you here, and God will love you. As you experience love, we hope that it will change you, that it will help you grow, that it will help you live and stand up as a person of faith. As you do all of that, as you feel authentic, as you feel loved, as you feel included, we hope it'll motivate you. We hope it'll motivate you to be change so that you can live your faith out in the world in a way that makes God's presence visible to others, in a way that makes possible, in a way that makes relationships and reconciliation possible, in a way that makes beloved community a reality, an achievable global vision. We believe that in our own way, in our own time, through God's power and through God's grace, as we are ourselves, as we are loved, as we are change, we are helping to bring about this new heaven and this new earth. We are participating in the beloved community and in the kingdom of God, each one of us, each man, each woman, each child. That's an empowering statement. It's one that inspires me to get out of bed every morning. It's one that makes me want to be in relationship with you all and help you understand just how much you are precious and worthy of this great gift. Will you pray with me? Jesus, your agape love greets us every day and in every time and every place. It greeted Dr. King in the midst of his work and ministry, in the work of his preaching and teaching and writing. And it greets us here today as we seek to participate in your kingdom. We want to do what is right. We want to do what is good. We want to seek peace and justice. And we know, oh God, that you help all of that possible for us. So thank you. Thank you for including us. Thank you for loving us. And thank you for changing us. Continue to do so.